Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my gosh, could it be any hotter co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
It's actually not that bad today. We just came back from the park.
It's a little muggy where I am, man. It just feels a little moist, and I know that's a trigger word or something. That's going to untap up, keep and draw. But before we, you know, offend anyone else and begin the show, we want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available at all three locations to everyone, they provide a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. Their locations, they have two Kerwin's Game Stores, one in Poughkeepsie, New York, and one in Catskill, New York, as well as Adventure Awaits in Nyack, New York. Got it right that time. So we want to send a shout out to them. Thank you very much for coming along the side of the show. They have an awesome website. You can find them at kgsonline.com. Don't forget, you get a 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. We also want to take a second to recognize our rare level patrons, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Bell, Levi, Jake, Brian, Apollo, Muertis, Parkman, and Dragon D's Nuts, as well as our producer level patrons, John, Jamie, Vic, and Ian. These guys, these people help out in just so very many ways. We could not do the show without them. We've already got two people for Commander Craft, one for game one, one for game two, from our patrons. So we'll be opening it up for one more person tomorrow, and that's a Nemesis week. So that's kind of like the big thing they get, is they get first crack at Commander Craft, as well as first crack at our Winnabox. So the Winnabox tournament's going on right now. And reminder that Commander Craft is our Wednesday show where we play listeners like you using webcams in both in four-person Commander. We are doing kind of an arch enemy this week, at least for game one, which usually goes fast. I am the arch enemy. I'm the nemesis this week with Rin and Siri. So they'll be looking to topple me with busted, broken down power stuff. Oh, that's all right, buddy. I understand. Johnny's got, I've got a nemesis. I got Pathfinder at 9. Well, dude, we rarely go past like 8 o'clock with Nemesis. Usually Nemesis is quick. It's 3-on-1. You know, if you wanted to hop in on game one, you can have a slot. Just let us know. But that's find out more about Patreon at patreon.com/planestalkers. We also want to remind you that we are the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers network of podcasts. Our sister show, Cancer Cartel, is doing fantastic. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel, and you can download them on almost any podcatcher. Hit them up on our Discord. They have this great area in there as well, a lot of people in there. Finally, we're proud to remind you that we are part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky podcasts and other content dedicated to promoting positivity, inclusion, as well as just showcasing some really great stuff. They have a ton of great content available for you to grab free of charge. Go to geek2geekmedia.com. But we are still in untap, and I am definitely going to untap tonight since it's 2 weeks that my bottle opener looks like it's still working. So I am drinking yet one more Sam Adams Summer Ale. So while I'm popping the top off this, Aramis, my friend, how in the hell are you?
I am doing very well. I had a fantastic weekend. This past Friday, basically I only had a half a day of work because the second half of the day was a company picnic.
Oh, sweet.
So, went up to Saratoga for a while.
Oh, cool.
And got to hang out at Saratoga Lake for a little bit and, you know, actually physically see my coworkers for maybe the third time since I've been working here.
Oh, wow.
So that was nice. After that, drove back down to Catskill for a Friday Night Magic.
Oh, I didn't know if you went. Cool.
Yep. Yep. Went down and played some Commander.
How'd you do?
Had a great time.
How'd you do?
Didn't win any of the games that mattered.
Okay.
And that's been going on for a while. There's been some heavy hitters that have been showing up lately.
I wonder if you and I moved the needle.
Like, I don't think so.
I know.
I don't think so. So far, like the last maybe 4 or 5 games that I've played down there, it's basically been where just the one deck at the table just goes off pretty early and nobody can stop it. But it's still been fun. So that was a great time. And then the highlight of the week was Saturday. On my way home from Kerwin's, Pam calls me,
Yeah.
and we were gonna have one of our family friends up.
Okay.
And she called me and said, "Hey, by the way, they're gonna be showing up at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Is that okay?" I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of early, you know." It's like, "Oh, all right, but you know, I guess we could do breakfast and you know get the visit out of the way and still have the afternoon to ourselves." So, get up on Saturday, and you know, I'm get I, you know, we start getting ready, and then she's like, "Well, why don't you go sit in the office with Ollie while he plays Roblox? You can watch him." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, fine, whatever." So he's playing his Car Crushers 2 game, having a great time, and then she comes over to the hallway and says, "Oh no, she got lost. She's gonna be a couple minutes later than usual." I'm like, "All right, fine, that's no big deal." So in there watching him, and she goes, "Okay, so she's here." So I'm like, "Okay." She says, "You gotta come out." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm coming, I'm coming." So Ollie goes out, and my wife is sort of standing at the doorway, sort of like in a weird spot. I'm not used to her standing the way that she
Okay.
was. So I look to her and I'm like, "Well, what are we doing? Are we introducing to someone that we already know, like we're a family?" And I turn and I look, and it's not the family friend, it's my friend from grade school.
Oh, wow.
So apparently for the last couple of months, they had been planning this because he couldn't make it to my, you know, since canceled birthday party.
Right.
And I've been friends with him since I was maybe like 10.
Oh,
And
wow. That is
I, you know, I
cool.
turn and he's like, "Hi, I'm Fran." It's like, "Wait, what? What the hell's going on?" So I got to spend the entire day with him. He took me to Poughkeepsie to the Mid-Hudson Comic Con.
Wow.
We did that, and then on the way back we stopped at a I don't remember, I don't have the name of the game store on hand, but it's a local game store in Pleasant Valley, because they were at the Comic Con, but they had only been open since March. So we stopped there, and we went halvesies on a box of new Capenna,
Ooh.
got some pizza on the way home, and then basically spent the rest of the day playing Magic. We
Oh,
did a sealed deck with new Capenna, and then we started playing Pack Wars for like, you know, 4 hours, and then we played some Commander. And so he ended up leaving at like close to 10:30, I think, that night. And he's like 2.5 hours away, so it's a little bit
right.
of a hike. But also while we were there, there were like at the Comic Con, there were like this group of people called, like, I think like the Mid-Hudson Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes, okay.
And coincidentally, I happened to be wearing my Ghostbusters t-shirt. I had no idea any of this was happening. And I
Right.
just that was the shirt I picked for the day. And it ended up working out where we met a guy who had like the original script to Ghostbusters 2.
Oh.
He had pictures of a bunch of Ecto-1 cars that he built himself. And then these Mid-Hudson Ghostbusters people were there, like they do cosplay for like charity. So they had like, you know, they had all the jumpsuits, they had really intricate proton packs and traps that looked realistic. And I was able to get a picture taken on like a green screen with like, you know, Ghostbuster scene in the background, and you know the proceeds got donated to they donated to charity, and I guess this year's charity was suicide awareness and
Okay.
prevention.
Right.
So and I got to walk around there, you know, a bunch of comic book vendors and stuff. But
Oh,
then,
I
like I
love
said,
Comic
we
Cons, period.
yeah.
So.
So then we split a booster box, went home, and just played Magic for the whole day. It was amazing. It was great. It was
So
such a wonderful surprise.
then, you know, 'cause I'm a complete and utter selfish narcissist. Why are they not, why is he not listening to the show right now? We should even interview him. Like, what's going on,
Well,
man? Where's our show love?
he's a firefighter, so he's busy.
That likely story. No, it's all good. Wait, a firefighter who plays magic. You don't hear that every
He was also
day.
in he was in the Navy for a while. Big, huge, just like me, huge Trekkie.
Oh, nice.
He was like, "I got to kind of live up my dream and be Chief O'Brien," because he was a chief engineer in a nuclear sub.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so.
Nuclear subs, man. That is an interesting life. Like,
He got to
yeah.
spend some time on a Los Angeles class attack submarine.
Wow. Like, never seeing daylight would be like the thing that would freak me out.
Stuck in a can for 6 months. But yeah,
Oh, nice.
it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better day, and we're hoping to get together again soon. And just, you know, just to be able to hang out, because I get to see him like once every, like the way it's been, once every 5 years.
Oh, good.
But he's one of those people that, like, you know, you could not see somebody forever, but then as soon as you meet up, you pick right back up where you
Oh,
left
yeah.
off, because we've been friends for the better part of 30 years.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that dude, that sounds fantastic.
It was great.
That's awesome. My weekend was like infinitely not even as cool. I literally we cleaned and we hung out. Like my old man's coming to town, so we picked up. Like, I'm like, listen, we got two more weekends with you boys before my dad gets here. Let's get this kitchen done. Let's get this done. So we've been kind of like working a little bit on the house, and I actually worked Saturday. My boss is kind of like, yeah, if you need overtime, like, to get these things done. I'm like, okay. So I spent like, a good 3 hours Saturday just working from home, and it's kind of cool. So, hey, Vic, how are you, my friend? So I'm looking very, I'm looking forward to a couple of weeks, but I mean, I think with this weekend again, it's just going to be us cleaning. So I don't know. We're trying to get things done around here and stuff. Oh, I don't know. Do I have them like candy? Hey, Nurse Gamer, thanks for the subscription, buddy. I did get my secret lair. I don't know if you could show if I could if it comes through without the green screen, but there's a Yidris.
Kinda. It's
Yeah.
kinda like eating it up.
Hold on. Yeah, I'll just do this, man. Turn back the hands.
I
Well, that's
finally got the
okay.
shipping notification on mine.
Yeah, you should have got. Everybody's been getting their pride.
I just got the shipping notification today.
Oh wow, like that's weird. Yeah, I'm very excited because I mean I already had Atraxa and Brea, so I mean obviously I've already swapped those out. So if you need an Atraxa, say you were going to build an Atraxa or Brea deck, talk to me. I've got a spare. So, I threw those in. I updated Atraxa. That's going to probably be the next deck I try to play. But then I, now I'm looking at Yidris going, you are something, sir. Oh, Johnny, thanks for the cheer, man. That's awesome. So it's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to build a Yidris deck, which is, I'm trying not to build the decks you build, but that deck is kind of fun. I don't know what type I'll build because your type
It's
is very
hard.
specific.
It's really hard to play on spell table.
Yeah, it really is. But, I'm also looking at a few other things. I think I got Azura out of my double master, so I think that's also a deck I kind of want to look at doing because enchantments can be just fun. So, but we have got an incredible show tonight. I mean, is there anything else going on or
I
before
mean,
we
not
go to
this,
upkeep?
not until this weekend, but that's, that's that we could talk about that next week.
Yes, I like that. So, we are going to be doing some card previews today. Obviously, Dominaria United came out last week. We'll probably touch a
Well,
little bit on the stuff they went over. I do have feelings about the broadcast. I thought it was a little. I think Jimmy Wong annoys me. Anyway, card previews, and then we're gonna talk a little bit. There was some big news that came out midday today, and I think this is gonna impact a lot of things because, TCG player apparently was just acquired by eBay. So that's a very interesting talk. And then we all are going to talk a little bit about the Winnabox tournament. So that's kind of our show tonight. Why don't we go ahead and get in the main and get this road on the show? All right.
main phase.
All right, main phase. Card previews, man. So they had their event Thursday. It was kind of what we thought it was going to be. They kind of, I wasn't prepared for the D&D mixture. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't know, I kind of wish that.
Hey, babe.
Oh, I missed her. Ah! I'm falling asleep at the switch.
There she is.
Pamela, hi. I wonder if getting CFB was an unspoken part of the deal. That's what I'm wondering too. We'll talk about that in main two, Nameless. I'm definitely thinking like, I don't know. How do you feel about like the Wizards broadcast the other day?
Well, it was Wizards Presents,
Right.
so it was a mixture of Magic and D&D because those are their two big IPs.
Right.
And they did that for like what a half an hour or so, and then they split off into the Dominaria United previews.
Right.
I do like that they did the roadmap for 2023,
Yes, I
and
do
really
too.
into 2024 to go through all the sets that we're going to be seeing over the next year and change. this is going to be something. I mean, the way this story is looking, it looks like the Phyrexians win.
Yeah, that's what I'm, and then I think they go back in time.
And yeah, it looks like they go back in time, like we've been saying all along. It looks like they do the whole Avengers thing.
Well,
And I mean, even the font of the two sets, March of the Machine, looks like an Avengers font.
it really did. I was
It
like,
really
okay,
does.
this
But
is kind of
I'm not gonna fault them for that. I mean,
no.
like, so for those of you who
Coincidentally,
missed
there'll be
this,
an Avengers Endgame secret lair coming your way.
probably at some
No.
point, yeah. For those of you who missed that stream, this set obviously coming out is Dominaria United. The next set coming out is The
Brothers
Brothers
War.
War. Then it's Phyrexia, All Will Be One. Then it's March of the Machine, March of the Machine Aftermath. What was it? Something Secrets of Eldraine or something like that.
Yeah. And then
And then
Ixalan.
the Lost Caverns of Ixalan. So we're going back to Ixalan, which is like, holy crap, that was kind of cool. I'm surprised we're going back to Eldraine as quickly as we are.
And that's just it. That was one of the problems I had, is that, one of the upsides to kind of finishing War of the Spark, which they were really big on, is they're like, okay, after War of the Spark, we're gonna go to Eldraine, and then we're gonna go to Ikoria. We're gonna hit a few new planes and do something new and different. But for the next year and a half, it's Magic's greatest hits. Well, Ixalan was kind of a miss, but it's Magic's greatest hits. It's, we're going to Dominaria, we're going to deal with Phyrexians, and we're going to do time travel and then go back to Eldraine. I think I'm willing to let them try Eldraine again, because I get the feeling this is them kind of trying to pull a mulligan a bit and be like, see if they could do it well. And Morrow even said, or somebody said, that they want to do different things with the fairy tale kind of thing. They kind of want to go a different direction this time. So I'm hoping that, obviously the adventure mechanic was the major busted part of that, as well as Oko. I promise you, I'm put it down now, there will be an Oko. They're gonna try it again.
It's
They're
what,
like,
and I just looked it up again because I couldn't remember. It's Wilds of Eldraine.
yeah. Oh, Oko will be here. You know Oko is gonna be in this set. And it's gonna be fantastic.
I like somebody had mentioned, I think it was in Twitter or even Reddit. They're like, so Eldraine is the palate cleanser plane.
Interesting
Because
thought.
that was the first place we went to after War of the Spark, and it's the first place we're going to after the Phyrexian
Right.
invasion.
I definitely can. You know what? That may be a thing. I'm not sure how I feel about Ixalan. Ixalan is one of those sets that, you either really love it. Well, no, I don't think anybody really loved it. It's one of those sets that everybody was just kind of like,
I loved it.
you did? Okay.
I did.
All right.
Rekindling Phoenix is from Ixalan.
I know. I know.
Zakama's from Ixalan.
I know. I know. So, I mean, it's obviously going to be dinosaur. I mean, the thing about it is, Morrow went out of his way to say he wasn't doing tribal. Like, tribal wasn't going to be a thing anymore, but you're going to Ixalan and you're going to Eldraine. It's like, dude, it's tribal.
Eldraine wasn't tribal. Eldraine was fairy tales.
Well, yeah, but there was, yeah, you're right, I guess, with that. But Ixalan was tribal beyond tribal. I mean, what do we have? Dinosaurs, merfolk, vampires, and
Pirates.
pirates. So. Yeah, we're assuming the Painlands are going to be in Brothers War. Get out of our previews, man. Oh, and there she is. I miss Pam, and now I miss mine. Hello, Wendy. Here's the thing. They need to stop using Jimmy Wong. It's not anything he's doing per se. He just comes across so saccharinely fake, if that's a way to put it, that you automatically just sit there and go, no. Like, he's just not the guy you want. I couldn't deal. He was mispronouncing Phyrexia. What did he call it? Phyrexia. He's
Yeah.
like, we're going back to new Phyrexia. I'm like, it's Phyrexia.
That's fine. It's a fake word, so either one
I
works.
know.
I
It's just I. He's just so. It's he's so jive. It's like
mean, 'cause
it's.
I've heard Dominaria and Dominaria.
Right. It's Dominaria, by the way. Dominaria is where you go if you're in London, darling. We go to Dominaria. But in any event, I just it, that's just it. It's like, please, just stop. Jimmy, I mean, put the other guy there. What the heck's his name?
Josh Lee.
Josh. I like Josh. Josh seems to come across as, you know, he's also just as jive, but he doesn't have that. I think it's Jimmy's cadence and the whole, like, and then we're gonna, hey, gonna do this. Yo, it's metal. It's so metal. And it's like, oh, for frack's sake, dude. You're like the guy that they left in school to tell, you know, when the teacher stepped out, you were the guy who kept names of everybody who talked. You know, it's like you were in a locker at some point. I'm sure of it.
So I'm guessing, I'm just going to take a wild stab here, that you're not a fan of Jimmy Wong.
Not a real fan of Jimmy Wong. I find him to be jive and fake. And, you know, I don't like fake. Don't like fake jive. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't go that deep. When it's something like this, I'm just like, give me the information. I don't care who's presenting it.
Yeah.
Just give it to me.
I want to enjoy the presentation. I'm a big fan of presentation. So, but that was kind of my feels. I do think separating D&D and MTG is a, you know, I get why you do it, but I mean, they kind of sprinkle them in between each other. I just found myself fast forwarding through the D&D stuff because I'm like, I'll read about it later. Yes, D&D 1 is important, but we all knew it was coming. And okay, and it's 2 years out. Why did we spend 45 minutes on this? I am not sure. In any event, that's my feelings. I don't mean to be negative. But let's kind of pivot from that, because then they went on and they did the Dominaria United previews, which mm-hmm. kicked off preview season. And so Aramis and I, as we are wont to do, we decided to go ahead and put together a selection. We'll do it this week and next week probably, of, you know, cards from Dominaria United. Pre-release is what? 2 weeks from Friday?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, Friday after next.
Yeah. So.
Same thing.
Yeah, see, like, that's just it, Vic. I'm with you. Game nights used to be fun to watch, but some of the weird things they cut scenes are lame. Yeah. And it seems, in the beginning, I liked Jimmy with that, and then he just started to kind of, it's like somebody told him to keep getting bigger and he's not that good of an actor, and it just comes across as phony. Anyway, so Dominaria United preview card. So we have, each of us has three, and we're just going to kind of go over these here. These are, you know, I think, you know, now that we've moved kind of away from standard, I think we're both looking at this from a perspective of Magic overall, not just that's what's good for standard. You know, I'm kind of excited for some of this, and I think you're going to take things off here. So you've got the first card.
All right, sure.
Why don't you go on into it here?
Yep. So this card is my favorite card in the set. I don't care what else comes out after this. It's Phoenix Chick.
I'm not surprised on that one, actually.
It is adorable as all get out.
It's not adorable. It burns you.
It's so freaking cute. Look at that thing. It's coming out of his little leg saying, I am the incarnation of fire and death. Rawr.
Scree.
So it's a 1/1 with flying and haste, and it can't block, which is already, you know, pretty aggressive and pretty decent. Whenever you attack with three or more creatures, you may pay 2 red. If you do, return Phoenix Chick from your graveyard to the battlefield, tapped and attacking with a +1/+1 counter on it. This card is really, really good.
Okay.
It's a great one drop. It's already got flying and haste, so it's got evasion. It's going to hit you right away. Since it has flying, it's going to take a little longer before they can effectively block it. If they manage to deal with it, you can get it back with a moderately sized attack, and it gets bigger. And heaven forbid, like late game, say you have three of these in your yard and you have some extra mana. Attack with 3 goblins, pay 6 mana, now you have 3 2/2 flyers coming in too.
Right, for 6 mana. And I like it. I don't love it. I mean, because
this is going
to
be
hard
big
to
in
beat
red.
Rekindling Phoenix for me. Like to have a 4/3 coming in for
supposed
free.
To beat Rekindling Phoenix.
I know. I just
this is a completely different. Rekindling Phoenix is a mid range card. Phoenix yeah. Chick is an aggro card.
Okay, which I will say, there's some cards in this set where I'm like looking at it going, okay, finally mono red's getting some love. And I think in a mono red deck, this is definitely an automatic for. Standard for sure. It's going to be interesting to see. So yeah, it's going to be rampant in standard. You're right.
I love this card.
I like it as well. I just it's tough because I'm like I miss Rekindling Phoenix so much. So it's funny because you chose a red for your first one. I also chose a red. I was very excited to see that this is coming back. We've needed it in standard since it rotated out. So it's weird because, I mean, granted, we're not necessarily a standard podcast anymore, but we talk about standard a lot. And Lightning Strike has been missed. It's been 2 years since they rotated it out. And, you know, they kept trying to find new ways to do it, but there is nothing like, you know, a two drop that lets you do three damage to any target. Now, it's not Lightning Bolt. We're never going to see Lightning Bolt again. But, you know, to be able to have this kind of... It's great removal. It's great spot removal. It's great finisher removal. There's so many copy spells in this set now that having this be able to be copied a few times, especially with a 20 life total, I love this card.
It's the big thing is that there's a lot of 2-mana 3-damage spells that have been printed since Lightning Strike was last legal in standard. The difference is that none of them went face.
Or give you the option to face. Some did go face, but they were you had to jump through hoops. Yeah. You either go face or you go creature. The card goes face. This one's like it does both. It goes anywhere you tell it to go. It can hit a planeswalker, it can hit a creature, it can hit a player, it can hit your mom outside. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. And yes, Lightning Strike Vic, there's a lot of copy spells in this set.
And there's already a storm like that that has storm. I mean, it only does one damage at a time, but you don't want it to do any more than one damage because...
Right. This is going to see play again. I think it's been missed. I'm glad they brought it back. I mean, we would all prefer Lightning Bolt, obviously, in standard. Who wouldn't? Is Lightning Bolt in Pioneer yet?
No, Lightning Bolt's not in Pioneer.
Right. So... I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that they eventually have to print Lightning Bolt because it should be in Pioneer. But
well, I mean, Phoenix and Lightning Strike. I mean, there is 80-er slots right there.
There it is.
Mono Red.
Yep.
And there's a lot of other good one drops in Mono Red.
I think Mono Red's coming back. I think that's gonna be. I think which I'm all for. If I'm gonna play a standard deck, I like to play Mono Red. So let's move on to your next card, huh?
I'll play Mono Red if I get to play Phoenix Chick. So freaking cute.
Let's see, what do you got here?
All right, so the next card I'm previewing is another uncommon. It is Cut Down. It is an instant for 1 black, destroy target creature with total power and toughness 5 or less. So this is like the latest iteration of Fatal Push. Obviously it can't be quite compared to Fatal Push, but it's still very powerful, cheap early game removal. And it kills a lot of things. So, I mean, 3/2s, 2/3s, and down, basically, or 4/1s, 1/4s, 0/5s, that kind of thing. Or even, you know, other small things like that. For 1 mana, to be able to kill most small to somewhat medium-sized creatures is pretty good. I think this will definitely see play. In several formats. I don't know which ones specifically, but there's going to be a home for this somewhere.
I think
maybe not as a 4-of,
Yeah,
but it might not be a 4-of. It could be only a 2-of, and that's fine. Maybe even as a sideboard option, but it's definitely going to see some play somewhere.
Yeah. I think you'll also see it in as an addendum to Fatal Push and Commander. Like, this gives you another 1-drop quick removal. Because that's been the problem with Fatal Push and Commander is that you're like, wow, I have to draw it earlier. It's pretty much a dead card. I would replace Fatal Push with this.
No.
Really? You don't think?
Heck no. Okay. No. This is worse than Fatal Push. But it can be used as you said, like a second copy. But at the same time, single target removal in Commander is not as good. You want to be getting more for it. This is very efficient. I don't know how. I mean, it might see some play in Commander. I don't think it's going to be like an all-star. But I think there is a home for this somewhere. It is. I think it's a solid card.
I agree wholeheartedly. Hold on a second. My monitor just flashed. Huh. Interesting. Oh, there it's back. I'll write that down. All right. I love it. I do like this card. And like I said, yeah, I think and in Pioneer, well, now that's 6 or 7 one drop removal cards. You know, you might start to see some more Esper Tempo in Pioneer/Explorer. All right, let's take a look at the next one I chose. I chose a rare Astor, Bearer of Blades, a red, white, and 2 colorless mana. Legendary creature, human warrior. When he enters the battlefield, look at the top 7 cards of your library. You reveal an equipment or vehicle card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on your bottom of your library in a random order. The big thing is the second and third is equipment you control have equip 1 and vehicles you control have crew 1. Love that card, especially with what I'm going to preview next. But I think this card is a rock star in some of the Commander, you know, Voltron decks and stuff like that. To be able to, could you imagine a Colossus Hammer being able to be equipped for 1?
I mean, there's a few different ways to equip it for 0.
Yeah, I think
so this sort of just kind of adds to the make my equipment cheaper to equip. This is a typical Boros equipment. You know, this is right in the stereotypical lane as to what Boros typically does in Commander, and it's going to fit right in. It's got a home in Commander easily. I don't know necessarily as a Commander because I think Brunar Battlehammer is probably better.
Right, Sir Gwyn's also good, but I could see this replacing Sir Gwyn for me, because of like being able to drop 7 in your deck. You know, to be able to get 7 cards in your deck, put them on the bottom. You know, especially if you're getting flooded or anything like that, it's a good opportunity to kind of start managing your deck a little bit, getting an idea what you've got coming, what you, you know, you bounce this twice, you've gone 14, 21 cards into your deck. You know, that's good information to have. I like this as a Commander. I really like the side stuff. I think being able to equip and being able to crew a vehicle for 1, there's some pretty powerful, like, okay, the angel one there. What's its face? The
Parhelion 2?
Yeah. Parhelion 2. Imagine equipping that for 1. Like, things go, like, there's a lot of broken equipment out there that this thing could do really well in Commander with. I also think it could see play in Pioneer. I think having equipment in Pioneer, there's enough equipment in this new set. They've been dropping equipments lately. I think equipment could become an archetype in Pioneer and Explorer.
I don't think so. I think he's got one job, and that's going to be either as a Commander or in the 99.
Right. Wish it
the vehicles. The vehicles deck in Pioneer is Orzhov. I don't think they want to splash into Mardu.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Well, what do you think? Your next thing, dude. Your last one. You had 5 or 6 cards.
Yeah, well, that's only because they're part of a cycle. So if you're doing one, you might do the rest. So it's a reprint cycle. The Pain Lands are coming back after, God, I don't think they've been reprinted since 7th edition.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a hot minute since these have been reprinted. They've shown up occasionally in Commander decks, but they will be standard legal for the first time in, God, the better part of 15 years or longer.
They get into Sulphurous. Pioneer now.
Yep. Sulphurous Springs, Carplusen Forest, Shivan Reef, Caves of Koilos, Yavimaya Coast, and Adarkar Wastes. So what these lands do, if you aren't familiar with them, they each tap for a colorless, they enter untapped, or you can tap them for 1 of 2 different colors, and if you do, the land deals 1 damage to you. That's why they're called Pain Lands.
Yep.
These are a fantastic addition to Standard for fixing. They're a fantastic addition to Pioneer. It's always good to have more copies of them available. Not really too much to say about that. They're just they're very good, solid lands. You know, they're not fetchable, but that's okay. This was Wizards' first attempt at replacing the original duels, and they felt like this was more fair. Obviously, now the shock lands have proven to be much better, but these are really good.
I'm very excited to see these two. When those came out, I was like, wow, that's fantastic. Again, for the reason you said, I'm all for reprints. Like, reprint whatever the hell we can. Shocklands, they should be reprinted every 5 years, in my opinion. You know, Painlands too. The mana base is so important to this game these days. less so in something like Standard. I get that, that you want to kind of control what goes on in Standard. But, you know, reprinting these in a modern set or a Pioneer set, I mean, now they can put these into Pioneer reprints if they start building, you know, a Pioneer Horizons or whatever. Like, I just want to see, I'm very glad to see these here. I think it's very important to get stuff like this out to kind of help bring the cost of, you know, the reprints down. And hey, it allows them to sell them in a secret lair with weird art on them, and you know, well, luckily, the TARDIS will show up.
These weren't super expensive to begin with. I think the most valuable one was in the neighborhood of like $12, but it is nice to get more of them in the wild to drop their price. Now there is 10 of them in total, but only 6 of them show up in this set. The really heavy expectation is that the other 4 are going to show up in the Brothers War, along with, I mean, maybe like the Mishra lands or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I mean, what are the four that are missing are, it looks like.
The Underground River is missing. That's right. The blue-black one. The blue-black one. The white-red Battlefield Forge is missing. That's right. White-red. We are missing green and black, which is Land of War Wastes. And then
green-white.
The green and white, which was, I forget what that one was called. I also looked that one up.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, in any event.
Those are the 4 that we're missing.
Yeah. Mortis, we're talking about eBay and Second Man. You know, it's definitely, I would like to, I'm glad to see this. I was, obviously, they're going to show up in
Brushland, that's
what
it was, Brushland.
Yeah, Brushland. And they're obviously probably going to show up in the Brothers War. But, yeah, this is, I'm very excited to see what comes next with that. And I'm glad they're back. I want them in Pioneer. I think the more lands we get in Pioneer, the better. I love seeing them put Pioneer stuff together. And then, but let's go to my final card, which is it came out today, Weatherlight Completed, a completed vehicle. It is a 2-drop, so 2 colorless mana. Legendary artifact vehicle flying. As long as Weatherlight Completed has 4 or more Phyrexis counters on it, it's a Phyrexian creature in addition to its other types. Whenever a creature you control dies, put a Phyrexis counter on it, Weatherlight Completed. Then draw a card. It has 7 more Phyrexis counters on it. If it doesn't, you scry one. I like this card. I think it's fantastic for sac decks. I think it's fantastic for aggro. I think this can see play in a lot of areas. I mean, especially in regards to, you know, Aster, like, to be able to give this equip for 1, well, now it's a 2-drop 5/5 that I can use on turn 3.
So Nameless Bun Bun has a question. He says, I got to ask how the hell you complete something that's not alive. The Weatherlight's alive.
Yeah, the Weatherlight was alive.
It was built from the Weather Seed, and that was a magical seed that was from the Yavimaya Forest. It was a deal that was brokered between Urza and Multani, and the ship sort of grew around that. It's like, it's alive in the sense that it sort of has like its own personality. It's not like going to start talking to you or anything, but it's alive in the sense that it's aware of its own existence.
It's a TARDIS.
sort of, I guess. I don't know. I never watched Doctor Who. So like what happens in the story is that they are trying to, you know, they're fighting off the Phyrexians. They're sort of doing like these smuggling runs, trying to get supplies to the Coalition. The ship gets brought down by a skeletal dragon. They meet up with Braids. Braids is like helping them because I guess there's a shard of her that's causing havoc that she's not too fond of. They fight that off. Braids helps them get the parts they need to fix the ship. But what they don't realize is that when the ship had landed, it was infected with the Phyrexian oil. And
Phyrexis.
I think it's Phyresis or whatever.
Phyresis, yes. Whatever, yeah.
So by the time they tried to take off, the ship turned on them and started attacking them, and then it flew off. And then later in the story, it shows up at the Mana Rig attacking the Coalition with Urtai in command.
Oh, Mycosynth, okay.
Well, Mycosynth was the stuff in Mirrodin.
Yeah.
But it was the glistening oil that infected the Mycosynth.
I think this is fantastic. I think it's so flavorful. I think it's great. And I kind of love that they're kind of doing stuff like this because obviously they're going to do time travel again. And it's going to be fantastic. Because I think they're just gonna do crazy shit now. They're gonna be like, yeah, we're gonna kill a Johnny and make him complete. We're gonna complete the Weatherlight. We're gonna, you know, make Teferi's head flop off and he's gonna roll sideways. I mean, they can do anything right now if they're doing time travel. I'm so excited for that. And you know, guys, here's the thing. I haven't talked to Aramis about that, so I'm doing it on air. But us not doing as much standard. You know, he's talked about lore a few times and about how, you know, I'm a little bit turned off by it, but I'm understanding that not a lot of people are. So I think story time with Aramis is going to become a thing where there are going to be weeks where we're going to go into the lore and Aramis is going to take us on a journey because he knows so much about this and I don't. And that's kind of what the stuff he brings. And because now I am sort of fascinated with this stuff. So haven't talked to him about it yet, but let us know what you think. What do you think about that, Aramis? Because, you know, it involves you.
I mean, as long as we keep it current, I don't know the lore of a lot of the past sets because I had a bit of a gap between first Kamigawa and Amonkhet. So,
like, seriously, I'm thinking about getting some like really cool music behind it, giving you a bumper, like story time with Aramis. Like, I'll go into the studio and record my voice and welcome, kid, sit down for story time with Uncle Aramis. Oh, that's even better. It's story time with Uncle Aramis. Only here. On the Planestalkers podcast.
Dio Aramis.
Oh, this is fantastic. Levi likes it. Oh, this is great. This is going to be a thing. All right. So, I mean, I do like this card. I like that it's a mythic. I hope I find one. I hope I crack one. I don't see why this would be a hard mythic to find, but I think this is definitely going to see play. Hey, Nick, how are you? What about you? What do you think of this one? I mean,
this one's kind of hard for me to gauge because it doesn't crew on its own.
Right.
You have to kill four of your own creatures before that happens. It being a two drop is nice. So obviously this is something that goes into an Aristocrats deck, which I guess makes it a little easier to pop off with.
Right.
I don't know. It's one of those ones where it could be awesome or it could be terrible, and I don't feel like there's anything in between for this.
Oh, I think this is going to help my Brea deck a ton.
I don't know. I don't see how it really
because I'm constantly sacrificing stuff for Brea.
Yeah, but it's usually artifacts, not creatures.
Yeah. Well, artifact creatures.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, but I mean, I don't think the Brea deck needs any help.
It always needs a little help. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this will see some play in Commander, but you never know. But that's kind of our previews there. We each chose three. We'll choose three more next week, him and I, from the stuff that comes out from like today and stuff. But I did, you know, neither one of us talked about, you know, the big ones because I kind of wanted to talk about them as one. So there are four Planeswalkers that are in this set. And
that we know of so far.
That we know of so far. And damn, are they... I don't know about it. Yeah, we're missing Teferi, right? It was announced to be a Teferi. I think, right?
I don't remember. This might be it, but...
Yeah. Yes, Nick, it is Archenemy this week. You know, so let's talk about this. So first of all, the biggest one to come was the Johnny Sleeper Agent. You know, it's basically a Phyrexian green or white. And of green and white and a colorless. And he's a four? And he's like, he's got some good stuff. Reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature or planeswalker card, put it in your hand. Otherwise, you put it on the bottom of your library. That's as typical of Johnny. Distribute 3/1/1 counters among up to three target creatures. They gain vigilance until end of turn. Typical of Johnny. You get an emblem with whenever you cast a creature or planeswalker spell, target opponent gets two poison counters. Not typical of Johnny. He doesn't really complete until he's completed. I like that card. I don't know about you. I think this will be... Yeah.
Well, my problem is that we knew about this before we knew about it.
Yeah.
That it was leaked in the guidebook to the plane that was on Amazon. Yeah. And it's like, it was such a good story moment, and like, you know, you knew it was happening. When it happened in the story, you still did kind of feel really bad for a Johnny because the way the sleeper agents work now is that they don't even know they're sleeper agents until they're activated. And the way they did it in the story is that he started to change and like he grabbed his head and he's shaking his head. He's going, no, 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 this can't be, this can't be. And then he's then it clicks and he goes after everybody. And it's just like you could see as the older Johnny is slowly dying and getting taken over by the sleeper personality. And you're like, oh man, that sucks.
Because the Johnny was like the gentle, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he ends up killing Jaya, the fiery negotiator. She's two red, two colorless. Create a 1/1 red monk creature with prowess. Exile the top two cards of your library. Choose one of them. You may play that card this turn for minus one. Minus two is choose target creature an opponent controls. Whenever you attack this turn, Jaya deals damage equal to the number of attacking creatures to that creature. I love that card, that minus two effect. And then it's minus eight is you get an emblem with whenever you cast a red instant or sorcery spell, copy it twice. You may choose new targets for the copies. Well, I like her. I like the minus eight. I don't think you ever get to minus eight with her. But,
I mean, she
you
protects
know,
herself, so it's
she
reasonable to think
does.
so.
Yeah. That's an I don't think she sees a lot of play in Commander because I think four turns with only a 1/1 out, you ain't gonna survive. But I think she'd see some play definitely in Modern or in Pioneer or shoot Standard. The next one up, Karn's Living Legacy, four colorless, legendary planeswalker, plus one, create a tap Power Stone token. Which that, yes, I love it. I'm all about it. It's not a treasure. It's always there. Minus one, play any amount of mana. Look at
Yeah,
that
but
many cards from top.
there's restrictions on the Power Stone tokens, though.
Oh, it can't be spec'd to cast a non-artifact spell, right? Pay any amount of mana, look at that many cards from the top of your library, then put those cards, one of those cards into your hand, the rest on the bottom. That's kind of a Karn thing. And then minus seven, you get an emblem with tap an untapped artifact you control. This emblem deals one damage to any target. I like it. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I don't think he's that good right now.
No.
I think we need to see what's coming out in the Brothers War. We need to see what's coming out in Phyrexia and the two March of the Machine sets. This is a build around, and right now there's no real payoff for this. I will say that he might have a home in like my Traxos deck,
Yeah.
where I get a lot of like the Power Stones aren't going to have a drawback for me because pretty much every single spell is an artifact, so the Power Stone
Right.
it's just straight ramp for me.
He will have a home in he'll have a home in Brea for me. I mean, you know, that's
Yeah,
obvious.
probably. Yeah, as long as you're casting artifacts, he's ramping you. And then I think he's the first planeswalker with an ability that you have to pay mana into.
Yeah.
I think like the emblem is, it's a lot of the times the emblems are win mores. And he doesn't necessarily protect himself. So I think between all the Karns that have been released so far, he's probably the worst one.
Wow.
But that's not necessarily saying he's bad. I just think right now the pieces aren't there for him to really shine. We have to see what's going to be coming out. Because I imagine that the Brothers War and Phyrexia and March of the Machine, those two sets, well, those four sets really, I imagine there's going to be a lot of artifacts in that might be
I do
playable.
too.
So we'll see what
Well, they
happens.
already said that it was probably going to be, you know. But now we have the one we both saw coming. We were both real excited. This wasn't spoiled so much as it was just kind of sort of leaked. It's a reprint I welcome. It's going to be so good to have it in Standard. It's going to be so good to have it in Pioneer. Liliana of the Veil. Two black and a colorless. Legendary Planeswalker. This, my friends, is a reprint of the Liliana Planeswalker that we all talk about when we're talking about Liliana Planeswalkers. Plus one, each player discards a card. Minus two, target player sacrifices a creature. Minus six, separate all permanents target player controls into two piles. That player sacrifices all permanent in the pile of their choice. So I love that card. I had that card. I sold it to get married. I was very sad when I sold it. I'm very excited that I get to get it back. I'm glad it's reprinted. I think this is the right time for it to be in Standard. You know, what I don't know. What about you?
it's a very powerful planeswalker. And it's being reprinted into a standard where it can't do the kind of damage that you would think that it would normally do. So it was a safe spot to put it. I'm glad that they did it. It was telegraphed pretty big.
Right.
We knew this was coming. But this is a, I mean, I'm pretty happy to see it again from a collection standpoint, which means the price will go down because there's going to be a lot of these circulating around. So people are going to be able to get
Especially because
copies of
she's got
this.
three different versions. I mean, when you see like three or four different versions of the card, you're like, oh, at least you know there's probably going to be some going out there. So.
Yeah, no, it was a good reprint. I'm happy to see it there. I'm hoping they keep this up with not necessarily planeswalkers, but cards in general that need it. Like when they reprinted Ugin, that was really good. People were able to get their hands on Ugin. So now people are going to, more reasonably be able to get their hands on a Liliana of the Veil, which is great.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad it's happening. Fantastic. I figure there's got to be a Teferi coming. I don't think you can do Dominaria without printing Teferi. So I imagine there's still one more Planeswalker to come. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. Overall, I can't complain. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, what do you think of the set so far overall?
It's this is a Dominaria set. I mean, it's got Kicker,
Yeah.
it's got Domain, it's got the Phyrexians. It's this is looking really good from a flavor perspective, from a story perspective. Mechanically, it looks really well put together. Obviously, we're still missing like half the set accidentally got spoiled already because they leaked the release notes. So,
Yeah.
We have to wait and see what the other half brings, and I'm excited for it. And it's gonna be one of those, the rotation's happening when this comes out, so we'll see what standard looks like when half the sets are gone.
Right. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a second. We'll pay a quick bill and we'll come back and we'll go into main two and talk some news here for the rest of the show. But don't go away, we'll be right back.
When toxic culture has you down.
When you're just looking to laugh and have fun.
Kick back and enjoy watching a video game.
Or just make some new friends.
It's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network,
a community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
All dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like
video games,
Star Wars,
comics,
movies,
K-pop,
Disney Plus,
Keanu Reeves,
new,
or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time. And we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.
Combat phase.
And we cast a fog.
Main phase.
All right, main phase two. So, there was some big news that came out today, dude. Not sure how to feel about it. I was kind of excited that they put it out today so we can kind of get, talking about it before a lot of other shows. If you haven't heard yet, we did put it up in our Facebook or our Discord earlier. But it appears that eBay is acquiring the trade card marketplace TCG Player for $300 million. I mean, wow. Okay.
Yep.
There's a lot to unpack there. So, first of all, as we announced a few weeks ago, TCG Player had already just acquired Channel Fireball. So they had already gotten the second largest marketplace out there. And now they get bought out by eBay. So, and eBay's a little rough, I'll say. I don't know. Have you ever sold anything on eBay?
I have never sold anything on eBay.
Okay. I did. I used to sell a ton of stuff on eBay and then I stopped. I sold a phone once on eBay. It was my sister's phone. Nice phone. Sold it for like $150. back then, just like what started the smartphone craze. And I ship it to the guy. I know it's good. I ship it to the guy. And about a week later, I get, you know, an email saying he has put in a dispute with me because he's like, hey, you know, the phone doesn't work. It's obviously damaged. You know, it won't power up. You've sold me a piece of crap. So I had to refund this dude's money. I have him ship me the phone back. And I have a friend who works at a phone store. He cracks it open for me and he goes, oh, yeah, there's water damage. He's like, and it looks like they dropped it in. He's like, there's snow in here, too. They dropped it in the snow and broke it. But eBay, you can't fight them for nothing. Hey, Johnny, thanks for the cheer. Oh, that was 4,100 minutes ago. He's like, you can't really argue with eBay. Like, they're going to be like, did you have a video of it going out? So they've always kind of favored the buyer over the seller, is, I guess, my point. Well, TCG Player is made up of mostly local game stores selling stuff on there. Having eBay have that kind of an attitude with them, that hurts bottom lines, you know? So that's the thing that scares me.
So TCG Player is going to maintain its autonomy in this acquisition?
Yeah.
So they're going to still have control over how they run their business. The CEO is not changing. None of that is changing. They're basically just, they're becoming sort of how, in, for lack of a better term, sort of how WotC is with Hasbro. WotC does their own thing. Hasbro is there to just sort of be the umbrella over them. TCG Player, I mean, and of course, this is what they're saying. We don't know what's really going to go on.
Right.
But they're saying that they're going to maintain their independence, that part of it's not really going to change. It's just they're going to get the logistical power of eBay behind them.
Right.
Which TCG Player was already pretty robust, but adding eBay to it makes it more so. But at the same time, like you said, they just acquired Channel Fireball. And then to turn around and get acquired by eBay, I mean, really all it does is give you less choice.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be a problem. That's just it. It's been announced that eBay can do this, but it's very possible that the FTC could look at this now and go, okay, when it was just TCG Player, two trading card companies, whatever. You know, it's a niche market, blah, blah, blah. You start putting somebody like eBay in there, which is, you know, one of the forerunners of the 21st century technology boom. I mean, eBay was a huge part of our cultural zeitgeist pretty much from the 1997 till about 2012, I would say. You know, people sold stuff on eBay until Craigslist came out. So, I mean, at the end of the day, eBay has a lot more visibility. I won't be surprised if somebody comes up and says, you know, the FTC comes out and says, hey, you know, this is bad for the consumer, especially because WotC and Wizards are in bed with Amazon. I'd be very interested to hear what WotC thinks of this, because if they're in bed with Amazon,
it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but no, if they're in bed with Amazon and eBay is there, pretty much Amazon's like second or third largest, you know, online retailing competitor. Now, you know, it can get dicey. I'd be very interested to hear what WotC thinks.
See how, though, because it's secondary market stuff.
It is and it isn't. You know, because LGS
WotC doesn't sell, they don't sell singles through Amazon.
No, but TCG Player does sell sealed product.
They do, but there's also no MSRP.
Yeah, this might make the MSRP come back. You watch. They might.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I would not either. I think this is a bad idea from a lot of perspectives. Yes, okay, they're going to keep their headquarters in Syracuse right now. From a local perspective, okay, guys, you know we're in New York State. TCG Player is a New York State success story, and there's not many of them these days. Businesses are taxed into oblivion, and I mean, I'm not getting political here. It's just what it is. The tax base as far as New York State goes is ridiculous as far as business. And, you know, eBay very well is saying, yes, your headquarters can stay in New York until they get the tax bill. And then I could see them going, oh, no, you need to come to Washington or Silicon Valley. Are you insane? We need at least 65 tax credits. I definitely am going to see. I'm very interested to see what happened. No LGS is not going to purchase any more than pre-order. Mark my words. That's a very real possibility, Huertas. You're not wrong. That's what I think. I think a lot of people, I think this is, again, going to hit the LGSs in the gut. You know, having eBay as an overlord, you know, that's not, I don't think that works for them. They're such a different model. And if they have to go through eBay and they have to go through eBay selling fees, okay, say eBay comes along and says, hey, you have to list inside eBay as well, or eBay seller fees or what have you.
No, this I think could, that's going to be, they're going to be separate from that as far as I know.
Okay. Does, and eBay doesn't own PayPal still, do they? Because I know at one point, because that
know.
May I, also.
I don't know how all that works, but I think that TCG Player is basically just going to be able to keep doing
PayPal's
what TCG Player
again,
does.
Okay. I think they have to say that. I don't think that's what they intend. Why buy it then? Why bring it in-house if you're not going to integrate the companies in some way? There's no reason to do it. Like, I understand why TCG Player grabbed Channel Fireball. They wanted that retail chain. They wanted the brick and mortar. I don't see why eBay acquires TCG Player and lets them remain autonomous unless there's something, you know, something we're missing.
There's something in it for them, but I don't think it's going to be as nefarious as some people think.
Well, I don't think Hasbro had nefarious intentions. But a lot of people feel like Magic lost something when Hasbro came in, myself included. You know, I mean, the minute you add corporate,
wait and see if the deal even goes through.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see if this deal goes through or not.
I think it will.
It probably will, but I think it's going to take something that was cool, like TCG Player was, and kind of make it Jimmy Wong. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Oh, God, I don't know why I don't like that guy. He's just so jive. Anyway, moving on. So that's kind of it. Let us know what you guys think in the comment. A bunch of people are saying some stuff in the chat. You know, I become far more appreciative of the fact that my LGS isn't involved in TCG Player. Yeah, Channel Fireball Marketplace. Yeah, Nameless. The independents are going to be where it's at, man. I'm all for the independents, so... That being said, let's go ahead and kind of pivot to the Winnabox. So the Winnabox is in full swing. All of the week one stuff has been played except one match, and I think Ember went ahead and forfeited. So I think I'll just give him the win on that. But we've got pretty much, let me check our brackets here. That was of yesterday, so... but we've got almost, I think we might actually have our first final four. So, Huertas, we lost. So, we've got some pretty great stuff going on though. Huertas lost and, you know, we're all just terribly broken up about that one. No, I'm kidding. So we are looking at, we've got a few Elite Eight set up right now. We've got Kinetic, Bowfinger, Nickel Robles, Grunt, and Ogpair, and Netrock, and Vamp. That's our Elite Eight. So we're getting down to the Final Four, which is good. Guys, get this played, because Discord's going away in 3 days. But, I mean, so far, so good, man. I mean, I guess a lot of good close games have been played. Some of them, you know, were a little bit roll away, but very excited to see what's coming next. Have you got a chance to look at anything, Aramis, or...
I have not. I've been really busy with work and other stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, that's all right, but we're very excited for that. I think we're going to have a stream probably, maybe a week from Friday, maybe. Well, you like to go to, what do you call it? Right, you like to go to, Kerwin's every other. Well, we'll let you guys know when the stream's going to be up. Keep sending us your results, guys. Keep sending us your videos. but I'm very excited for that. So that's going well. To find out more, check out our Discord under the tournament channel. And, you know, it's really, really going to be exciting. So on that note, I think that's a show, man. What are you thinking? Anything else you want to cover tonight? Or
no, I don't think so. I think we hit everything today.
I do, too. All right. Well, in that case, why don't we go ahead and go to
End Step.
And while Aramis and I are rolling up our play mats, putting our cards back in the boxes, and taking our pizza boxes over to the trash, because dang it, your mother still does not work at this 7-Eleven, we want to remind you guys that we have an awesome Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. You'll see all the shows we do. You can also follow me at Twitch at Mindcrime73.
And if you want to interact with the show in a more real-time fashion, you can, you know, do what a lot of people have done and join our Discord. It's discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It is a great community. You need to join that if you want to play in the Winterbox tournaments, although I guess that's going to be going away.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out. Anyway.
No, there'll still be Discord integration. It's just going to be a different tournament bot.
Yeah. And then you also need to join that if you want to participate in our Wednesday night shows, which we'll talk about in just a second. So discord.planestalkerspodcast.com, great community. If you want to follow us on Twitter, if that's more your speed, we occasionally tweet, and you can find us at planestalkerpod.
And you can reach me on Twitter at WR Benson. I don't tweet a ton there. You know, I just tend to kind of follow, you know, people in bands I like, you know, Randolph Mantooth from Emergency in the 1970s. But you can also follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker, like and follow our page there. And don't forget, we also do a playcast on Wednesdays where we play Paper Commander live. We're looking for one more person for game one. And then we've already got somebody set up for game two. Game one is Nemesis. It is an arch enemy style. We're going to tweak the rules a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about that, Aramis, on our post game show. Check it out there. It is, you can find it on any of our channels. Just go to Twitch, Facebook, Twitter. We're on Twitter now. We stream on Twitter. All those, just check it out. Wednesdays around 7 Eastern.
And finally, if you'd like to email the show for any reason, you can send it to one of three different addresses. The address that goes to both of us is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email one of us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email me, the address is Aramis, Aramis, @planestalkerspodcast.com.
And on that note, we want to thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight and being a part of the show. We will be back Wednesday night with Nemesis version of Commander Craft, followed by hopefully a game two with no champion and four new people playing together. We will also be back next Monday with our episode 149, talking some more Dominaria United and any other news and stuff you guys can use. Please hang out with us. Come join us at any point, anytime, Discord and our Twitter. And again, we will catch you guys next week. So for Amherst Perez, this is Will Benson reminding you to always keep some of your man on tap, because you never know when you need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.